Carson Anderson outside Comerica Park here on 97.1. It is, Gremlins are out today, and we're hanging in there on what is a little breeze coming
it's,
through.
It's noon.
Yeah. Oh, it is noon. The leaf roller finally stopped.
They had like a whole crew on the other side.
Yep.
Today.
Yep.
They've been kind enough not to do right in front of us.
Yeah, this has been about the, hey, should I jinx it? I'll go ahead and jinx it. We haven't had a lot of noise issues today. Yeah, it's been good. Anyway, so we got Tigers Twins in what feels like a moderately important game. I don't want to overstate it. It's a game here in June, but for their team momentum and psyche, they try to keep realistic goals, and the realistic goals is to goal is to win each series. You feel like mission accomplished if you take two out of three. Won the game on Tuesday, lost the game last night, couldn't get the key outs when they needed, and couldn't get the big hit when they needed. But at the end of the day, you can't expect to win them all. So keep the good vibes going, win this game.
Yeah, it's a great start to June. They had a chance last night, couldn't finish it off. Almost had a spectacular finish with Vierling with a deep fly ball in the ninth inning, but just felt, I don't know, 20, 30 feet short. But hit to the deep part of the ballpark. He really hit it well. It's fun to watch the Tigers play again. And I think as long as they start doing the little things well again, like play defense well, we saw some great defense last night. It's a good first step. And we know they're getting really good starting pitching. Last night's game was strange because Framber Valdez came out, started the game, and then the rains came, and they got delayed by an hour and 10 minutes or whatever it was, and they had to come back out. That's not ideal.
No.
That's not how things are supposed to go. So we'll see if they get back after tonight. But knowing that this team, not only are they getting healthier with adding Gleyber Torres and Kerry Carpenter to the lineup, which is that's kind of what's jump-started this offense, but they're getting pitching back. Tarek Skubal's coming back on Saturday. He's going to pitch against Cleveland. It looks like if everything goes well today with the bullpen session with Casey Mize, that he'll pitch Sunday against Cleveland. So they're getting those guys back. Justin Verlander sounds like he's going to be back to this team next week. That's three more starting pitchers coming back, which is awesome. And if you look at this team's bullpen and you're not totally enamored with it, I get it. You know, prior to last night, they'd done a really nice job in the previous 22 innings, giving up just the one earned run. But what these guys coming back could mean is it might push some of these starters that they have into a bullpen role or into a different role, which is kind of exciting to me to think that instead of having to cobble it together with four pitchers to finish up the last four innings, you don't have to do that. You can throw one pitcher and do that, or you can use two guys and do that.
I find Ty Madden, who gave up the two runs last night out of the bullpen, to be a very interesting Tiger because in 18 innings, I think it is this year, he's got 20 strikeouts, and they like swing and miss, and they like the ability to strike people out at the end of the game to have him in the bullpen. But I also look at a 25-year-old guy who at one point got into the top five prospect rankings that could have some value on the trade market if they decide to buy. Now, I don't think he has a ton of value, but you start thinking about a useful rental player. Like, if you're not happy with the bats off the bench in pinch-hitting situations, I think you can find that guy if you want to move Ty Madden in a win-now move. I also think that he might craft a role for himself out of the bullpen. Last night, you know, he got in trouble early, but with the swing and miss capability and the ability to strike out, I don't know what direction that's going to go, but I don't know that he has a future here as a starter, given their depth, what they have right now, and what they'll have when Jackson Job and Reese Olson return. So, it's either a bullpen role, and they need all the bullpen help they can get. So it's either a bullpen role, or he could get dealt. He could be a trade piece.
Could be, and I don't think Tiger fans would be all that thrilled. I mean, this is just
I literally just said we haven't had noise issues, and now we've got some military exercise.
Because why not do that right in front of a broadcast? Because that makes sense.
There's a military exercise going on in front of us. Like, literally.
All right.
Fatigues and everything. What is going on?
I don't think Tiger fans going to be all that jazzed if the move they make at the trade deadline is, even though it would be one that they could use, is to add simply another bat off the bench. Right?
Yes.
And yet, I think it's a prudent move to make if this team is playing well. You know, would I look at improving any position player? Absolutely, absolutely. But if in the end of the day, at the end of the day, if the move is simply, well, we got a guy who's a right-handed specialist or a right-hand hitting specialist to hit left-handed pitching, okay. You know, get ready for it. But they do have plenty of pieces to move. They always have. They've got lots of prospects. And now it looks like they're going to have a ton of starting pitching that they can deal from a position of strength as well. And maybe that just ends up being trading a starter for bullpen arms.
Ken, can you hear these people back there with the yes, sir, yes, sir?
Yeah, I would like to say just thank you for your service. Could you guys do it over there?
I don't know what this is, like ROTC or something like
it's
that.
Something, but they've decided that it's right here, right in front of us. And no, for people watching online, we're not allowed to turn the cameras.
A lot of young people out there.
Yes, we're not allowed to turn the cameras and show it, but interesting choice. A little surprising, right? All right, so look, feedback's still coming in on how mad people are at the Spurs for blowing that game, on unleashing a Nick monster on the sports world. From an unnamed texter, guys, I feel the exact same way you do. I'm so mad they blew that game. I cannot stand New York fans in any sport. I hate painting fan bases with one brush. It's not fair. But the Knicks fans aren't helping, and the celebrity row isn't helping. Tycoon fans aren't helping with all the courtside seats and the look at knees of the
Titans
world.
Of industry.
bastards. So the game last night, I was honestly worried even when they were up by almost 30. It seemed like every game they're able to get up by double digits. They cannot hold on to a lead. And once Brunson gets hot, it's over. And I can't stand it. They had so many chances to still win that game in the last minute and blew every one of them.
Look, Brunson's amazing. He's a great player. But, man, he likes the hero ball, doesn't he?
Yeah. How is it possible for a fan base to go 50-plus years without winning anything and still be obnoxious and arrogant? Knicks fans. It's from Scott.
Why couldn't they just box out last night?
Dude, it's
watching. Box out, game's over.
So Ron Harper, they showed him in the stands talking a lot of mess earlier in the game, and then his boy didn't. I mean, that was a tough play, okay? He was coming from the corner, but when you watch the replay and you see OG Anunoby, who was a great player at Indiana, I remember seeing him play and thinking this guy's going to be something special.
He had a game last night.
Yes, he did.
He's had some games.
That tip was unbelievable.
It was great. Great play.
Unbelievable. And, yes, the Knicks came from 29 points down, and the Spurs blew it.
If they simply boxed out.
Yeah.
Or tried to dribble out.
Dribble out the clock or not take so many early shot clock three-pointers in the second half. 248-539-9797. Okay, so, look, A.J. Hinch was on a morning show. The number one criticism we get about A.J. Hinch is people struggle with his decisions when to pinch hit, when not to pinch hit. And it feels like on multiple occasions this year, he's made the call and they haven't worked as much. We ran the numbers earlier. In the last three seasons, consistently the Tigers lead the majors in pinch hitting. This year it's no different. I think they got 20 more than the closest team at like 85, I think the number was. In batting average and OPS, they're at the bottom. They're in the bottom third this year. The last 2 years, they've been in the top third. So Hinch's philosophy and what he likes to do isn't working as well. Does he need to adjust what he does? The morning show asked him that question. Hear what he had to say coming up today at 12:22. We got open lines as well, 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson here on 97.1. Doug Hart, Scott Anderson, 97.1. All right, A.J. Hinch was on our morning show, and they did a great job asking very pointed questions about decisions that he makes, and it's always good to hear his perspective because you realize that there's logic, I mean, even if you disagree with it, and a lot of people do, there's logic behind what he tries to do. But with that stated, let's get to the best of what he told our morning show. We start with this. What's the biggest difference between May and June? Here's what the Tiger manager had to say.
Difference. I mean, you can go down any path you want. We're generally throwing better strikes. I know last night wasn't great. Our offense does sort of round out a little bit when you have Glaber get on base and Karp has the big swings, and it just feels a lot better to have a longer lineup. Our defense has been better. I love watching Kevin at third. You know, it's been by having Karp come back, we have an extra outfielder, so I can move Kinstry around a little bit and make Kevin be a third, and Z-Mac and Shorty can be at shortstop. And so just things are syncing up a lot better the way we planned. You know, we've obviously hit the ball out of the ballpark a lot more in June than we did in May. So sum all that up, it's just better baseball.
Couple things here. This is a poker player sitting at a table with more chips. He's got more chips that he can bet the way he wants on his guys. And second, not literally, by the way, I'm not implying that AJ Hinch is gambling. and secondly, the McGonagall thing's fascinating because a year ago we were talking about this great stick they had down in the minors. The question was, can he field anywhere? Well, he's fielding just fine, isn't he?
He's fielding great. And the plays he made last night at third base were fantastic. We've seen him make spectacular plays at shortstop as well. He's really a complete player. I can't say enough good things about Kevin McGonigal. You know, he's the guy on the team that you want now and in a clutch situation because you feel like he's going to give you a tremendous at bat. He has a knowledge of the strike zone. He doesn't swing out of it too often. There's a lot to like.
In the meantime, we have seen it. He has seen it and felt it. The ups and downs of a team that everybody is streaky in Major League Baseball. It's just the nature of the sport. It feels like the Tigers are streakier than most. It's a team that spent the first half of the season last year looking like, hey, is this the best team in baseball? We kind of knew they weren't, but they sure were acting like it. And then they spent the month of May looking like one of the worst Tiger teams ever. So what's up with the makeup of this team with the streaky play? Here's what A.J. Hinch had to say.
You know, a lot of it centers around the swing and miss. I mean, last night going in against this bullpen with the Twins, I wouldn't have seen 14 strikeouts. You know, we do have, you know, sort of a wild range of outcomes that can happen. And it's hard to pinpoint. You know, I know sometimes we get a little bit greedy with damage and don't take what the game comes with us. You know, defensively, I it's just not in our DNA. We should not be as streaky defensively as we've been. And same with the strike throwing. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are high-end strike throwers who have sort of tried to nitpick. Maybe it's all tied together to losing baseball in May kind of makes guys behave a little differently. But you're right. It's gone back a couple of years where we've had these massive streaks one way or the other, and it's if you think it's maddening for you, you should live behind the scenes day to day.
But you don't ride the roller coaster. We do.
you do. I know. No, you're right. I jump off that thing. I mean, behind the scenes, I probably ride it more than I show you. But
yeah.
I get as frustrated as anyone. But I know that this team is talented. I know the hole we've dug ourselves. But I also know what June has shown, which is, you know, we've got a pretty good team when we can put it together. And those good times remind you of what we're trying to accomplish.
You know, earlier in the interview, he had a quote, "I'm trying to avoid massive reactions to a loss." And whatever he was doing didn't work in May. Now, it could be lineup related more than anything, but at the end of the day, that's kind of the job of a manager is to be a rudder, even keeled, and you know, make sure the guys aren't panicking.
Well, that is true. And I think it's good to point that out. I think it's one of the things I really like about him. He doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. Even when he does these interviews, mm-hmm. you know, and it had to be tough coming on the air through the month of May when the team was losing like they were. But he kept his composure and kept telling you the logic behind what he was doing. You can disagree with it all you want, and that's fine. I understand his philosophy in the pinch hitting, and I don't have a problem with it. The problem I have is who he's using.
Well, let's get to that. Do you rethink how aggressive you are with the pinch hitting? Jim Costa asked that question directly. AJ was ready to explain his thinking, and here's what he said.
I think we just don't like it when it doesn't work because I understand sort of the assumption that it would have been better. It doesn't make it more of an advantage for Karp or Colt or those lefties coming in. We had it with Seattle as well, and we need to continue to take advantage of that advantage and and get some production out of that. But I, you know, again, like last night, Vierling's at bat in the ninth, as an example, was out in 13 ballparks, I think. Just not ours. So, right. Like, that would have been a three-run homer. And so I understand the sort of range of emotions of, like, you could have predicted three innings later there's going to be a leverage spot for a lefty against a righty. You know, we've got to take advantage of the matchups that we have with how the roster's built and where our strengths are. And, you know, so rethink it. I still believe that's the best way to go for this particular team. You know, I've given a couple of bats to these lefties. But when we have a chance given how the run scoring has been, not in June, but for the predominantly the whole season, I just don't think it's smart to miss on those advantages when we have them. Because I think, you know, a lot of times when guys, why are they bringing the lefty in? Mm. You know, some people would say they want to get Carp or Colt out. The others would say, you know, right now getting the righties in, our righties have struggled. But it's going to turn, and we're going to stay with that process when we can. I'll move the batting order a little bit. I may hit Ding behind Carp today, which makes it a little more difficult with as much as their lefties have pitched recently. But I try not to get too caught up in the results. Stay with the process. Trust here the way the team's built and where the strengths are on the team, and remind myself it doesn't make it easier for those lefties to face lefties just because we don't like when the righties get out.
You know, it's interesting what he had to say there to me is that basically right now it's a win-win situation to have left-handed pitching against the Detroit Tigers, because it's a win-win. You've got a better matchup pitching against Carpenter and Keith. Mm-hmm. And it's also a win because if the Tigers counter with who they have off the bench, they're not doing well either. So it works both ways. If people want to see more at-bats from Colt Keith and Kerry Carpenter, I understand it in theory. You know, these guys are only going to get better at hitting left-handed pitching when they see more left-handed pitching. But they're a combined 2-for-20 this year against left-handers. They're each 1-for-10. So as much as we don't like the alternative, the alternative has fared slightly better, but it has been better. And it's an advantage nonetheless, and A.J. Hinch is looking for any advantage he can get, but I think he's going to have to start looking elsewhere for an advantage.
I mean, the one thing we have to remind ourselves is while Kerry Carpenter and Colt Keith are amongst probably Detroit's more reliable hitters in spite of Keith's struggles, he's not a weakness. He is what he is, right?
You know, but he's only got 7 runs driven in this year?
That's crazy.
He's plays most games.
He's had good bat-to-ball skills, too, but he's having struggles this year. But those guys are getting pinch hit for because they're not Luis Arraez, right? They're not guys who are great. They're not Riley Green. They're not Shohei Ohtani. They are what they are, and he's trying to keep them in situations where they can continue to be productive, and it's working in some guys' cases than the other, more so than others. The overall pinch hitters for the Tigers this year have been dreadful. They've hit 129 with a 426 on base, or OPS. The one thing that's crazy, though, is pinch hitting in general, the reward for it, I mean, the best team in majors in terms of batting average is Tampa. They're hitting 273 as pinch hitters. There's only like a handful of teams hitting above 250. Like, I mean, even when the Tigers were top 10 in the last 2 years in terms of production, batting average, OPS, their numbers were like 245, 250 in that range. So pinch hitting in general, the reward isn't great across the board, but they were way better in previous years and was with many of the same guys. And one of those guys is Jamai Jones, and that's the one that gets the most scrutiny, and you've been on this for a couple of weeks. What AJ had to say about Jamai's use was interesting because they did ask him specifically, okay, what about this guy who is supposed to be able to hit those lefties, and he's not at all. Here is what A.J. Hinch had to say.
So we're going to go to Cleveland this weekend. They're going to probably call up a lefty to make it more difficult on us. We're going to go to Houston right after that. I think they have 3 or 4 lefties in their pen, you know, with their lefty closer with Hader. So, you know, we definitely need these right-handed bats to answer the challenge of that, and Jamai is included in that. You know, he just missed a ball last night, hit a ball pretty hard into the air. He has hit the ball fairly hard in June. The numbers on the scoreboard are never going to look good for the next, I shouldn't say never, or for the next foreseeable future. It's hard to dig out of that hole that he's in. I don't think it makes him less of a threat, but we need him to produce in order for, you know, for these moves and the advantages that we do get to actually be an advantage and help us out.
Okay, when he talks about the numbers are going to look ugly, they're messed up. He's, what is he hitting, 188 or whatever it is. His point is you're going to see his batting average or his OPS, and it's not going to be impressive. He's focused on what he's going to do next.
Yeah.
But it was interesting that he pointed out all the left-handed pitching they're going to see in the next two series. I don't know if he would admit this, but we heard that and both felt like he's kind of given a timeline on Jamai, and he's punctuating it with, we need him to produce.
Yeah, and it's obvious because the philosophy that he has is sound. You know, take advantage with you have an opportunity here with a right-handed hitter against left-handed pitching. You want to use that. Absolutely. But Jamai Jones hasn't gotten the job done. He got the job done tremendously last year, and I think that's what he's hanging on to is he's still the same player. He's just not having – the same fortunes and results this year. Well, he's encouraged by some hard hit, maybe a hard hit rate, but in the end, the ball's not falling on the turf, so I think he needs to look elsewhere. And I'm looking at Corey Jolks from Toledo because he's a guy who's a veteran player. He's 30 years old. He's right-handed. He's killing left-handed pitching at Toledo right now with over a 1,000 OPS last I checked, which was a couple days ago. I think he's got 12 home runs this year, too. And he's not a guy that you're counting on to be the future of the Tigers. So you shouldn't worry you too much that he's only going to, you know, maybe get a start every four games and get an at-bat every couple games or whatever the situation provides. I'm not worried about that. I'd be more worried about that if you're going to bring up, you know, Max Anderson to do that or Max Clark,
right?
Because you want those guys to play every
get
day.
Get at-bats.
I'm not looking for an everyday bat. Yeah. I'm looking for a once-a-game bat.
Well, we had a listener do a little digging and come up with why Corey Jolks might not have been called up yet. We will get to that today at 12:32. It's Carson Anderson, Open Lines, Tiger Baseball coming up this afternoon here on 97.1. All right, I mentioned before the break, a listener, Michael, tweeted us on the subject of Corey Jolks. I heard from the guys at Tiger Minor League Report that he has trouble on breaking pitches. I actually asked him about it on their live chat Monday night. And that might be an explanation. They think when he gets up here, he'll just get force-fed breaking pitches and won't be able to come through. But for what it's worth.
Yeah, I understand that. But the OPS is over 1,000 against lefties. Then he's going to have to learn how to hit a breaking pitch, I guess. But nobody's just going to throw him nothing but breaking pitches.
Well, I mean, it's one of those deals. It feels like Jamai is right now having problems with every pitch.
Well, so, that's the other side of it. I'm just looking for a solution.
It really, to me, it's less about the philosophy. It's just wondering if the diminishing returns with Jamai, it's not going to change. But as people always ask us, why do they? Well, there's his why. When will they change? Feels like that might be coming soon. Feedback coming in here. The AJ Hinch comment that jumped out to me regarding his pinch hitting was, we're trying not to get caught up in the results. WTF, AJ, that's literally the entire point. That's from Nate Royal Oak. Well, I think what he's saying is,
there's more to it than just the bottom line.
It's here's the logic. It's been solid for us in the past. It hasn't worked as much. So we're not going to change it because we think it'll turn. But you know what? If it doesn't, then he'll go down with the ship. It's like Dan Campbell's fourth down decisions. It's a big part of his coaching DNA. And so he's going to do it. He's going to continue to do it. The way we've seen some guys correct at the plate, I think he's betting that his pinch hitters will correct too. But we'll see. Doesn't it seem like there's always a go-to excuse about minor league players? KM wasn't a good fielder and stuff like that, so they don't bring guys up. That's from Gary at work. Is it an excuse or is that literally what every organization does? They call guys up when they've proven that they can play in a way that would allow them to be successful at the major league level, right?
Right. Particularly somebody you're counting on, right?
I mean, it's kind of crazy. Gator, you should try the BK Impossible Whopper. It's surprisingly good. I'm not a veggie burger guy, but I really like it in the States. That's from Ontario Mark. So he says you should try the Impossible Whopper.
Not going to happen.
No?
No.
Come on, man.
Why bother if you I can have the regular Whopper?
You might be surprised.
Why bother?
By the way, I was looking at the news yesterday, And I don't understand this. Massive news in the world of sports. Patrick Mahomes signed a contract that will pay him over $500 million.
Wasn't his last contract like that?
It was $400 million or something. Now he's over $500 million.
Was it $64 million a year?
That's what it averages out to. The guys at SpotTrack got a hold of, well, they've estimated what they think is going to happen. And what this is, it's converting salary into signing bonus. Do you know what they estimate the highest cap hit to be?
No.
$34 million.
What?
How is that possible?
I don't. This is why I say you got cap space out of thin air. You always have it. You're never really against it because you can find ways to manipulate the cap. And if I had been more adept in mathematics, this is where I would have. This is where you should go into a business, because if you can figure out how to manipulate the cap, you're a good man or woman. You're going to go far.
I feel as though at some point we should. I need to go back to school. I need to go back to college, and I need to figure out the cap. So that's my next thing I'm going to do. I think I'm going to go back to college and learn. Is there a cap class? I need to take a cap class to understand how that's possible. Now, maybe their estimates are wrong. Maybe when they get the numbers. Kang, do you have any idea how he can have a deal over $500 million, but the highest cap hit is going to be $34 million?
Nope, and that's why I don't have that job. Because if I did, then I would apply for a job as well. Yeah, Gator, you're right. If we knew how this, that's why those guys, they're very important for teams, right? The capologist guy, that guy is really, really important. And if they figured out how to do it, and it's not against any rules, then they're going to continue to do that.
I just don't know how it's possible. How it's possible. Now, personally, do I think Patrick Mahomes' best years might be behind him? Yeah, I actually do. And I think what happens in sports oftentimes is players get paid for what they've done and not what they're going to do next. I wonder post-knee injury if there's going to be diminishing returns with Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I think there will be. Look, guys get older, they get hurt more often, and then they start to decline. It doesn't mean he still can't play at a high level.
Right.
I fully expect to play at a high level. And it's obvious that they're trying to win as much as they can the next couple of years here. And that's what this does. When you redo a contract, it means you free up money in the short term so they can go out and get players to win now. And that's exactly what they're going to try to do.
Yep. But I guess we'll see how it plays itself out. In the meantime, we played the Dan Campbell soundbite in the update there, saying there's no setbacks with Brian Branch and they're feeling decent about his progress. Is an organization and a team that could use some good luck on the injury front, that would be some nice luck to have, is to have him come back. I'm worried about diminishing returns coming off an Achilles. That's the new knee. That's a hard thing to come back from. And I'm concerned that the Achilles also – will you get diminishing returns with Brian Branch?
Well, I understand that, too. And, look, when you hear that there's no setbacks, that's all you really can expect to hear at this point. Just no setbacks.
And we didn't have Kang with us yesterday. Kang, you had your daughter's last day of school picnic, correct?
Yeah, for the youngest one, and the other one just had her last day of school for the year. So both were done yesterday, yeah.
And how did that go, being a dad on duty?
Oh, it was awesome. First of all, you just get to see the little one kind of, you know, graduate or whatever you want to call it. And then the other one gets off the bus and says, "I'm free." Were the two words she yelled when she got off the bus. Was funny to see. But, no, I do. It's a long school year. And I do want to give a shout out to all the teachers and all the teachers' aides and its administrative staff and even the bus drivers, because I feel like it's one of the most undervalued, underappreciated jobs in society. And, you know, if you can, we'd like to give a little, like, you know, thank you card with, like, a gift card or something like that to, you know, all the people that helped basically help raise your children, you know? It's just, like, the most important asset we have, right? So I just do want to give a shout out to all the people that worked in school this year. Good year. And we'll see you after the summer.
Well, two things. I'm free as they get off the bus is such a kid move. And, Gator, I have a feeling, like, that's something you would have yelled back in the day.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I may have actually uttered those exact words.
And secondly, I know my wife appreciates the sentiment, her being a school teacher. And yes, it's a profession that is undervalued, underrewarded. Sounds self-serving, but it's true.
Have you seen the video where it's last day of school, this kid's getting off the bus, and his dad is waiting in the driveway for him, but his dad's got his buddies with him, and they're dressed up like a metal band, and they're playing "Schools Out" by Alice Cooper?
No,
just to embarrass
great.
The kid? It's amazing.
All right, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks to our crew down here. We'll do it again tomorrow. Tiger Baseball is coming up next here on 97.1. Oh, you said 30 seconds. I thought you said 10 seconds. We had clock issues down here today, so that means I get to say stay safe, everyone, and treat each other with respect.
Hey.
Now we got Tiger Baseball coming up next here on 97.1. Tigers try and win the series against the Twins.